You know, I heard in the news that there was something coming up in Houston in roughly a month from now, and something about a sporting event. Have you heard anything about this?
Soccer.
Is it soccer?
I think so.
Something called the Super Bowl. Anybody heard about the Super Bowl? Anybody want to go to the Super Bowl? Well, just so happens to be that Carol's cousin, Joel, he sent this to me. He says, a buddy of mine has two tickets for the 2017 Super Bowl. They're box seats plus airfare if you have to fly in, plus accommodations. Because he didn't realize when he bought them last summer that it was the same day that his wedding was going to be, and so he can't go. So if you're interested and want to go instead of him, the wedding is at St. Peter's Church in New York City at 5 p.m. Her name is Louise, and she'll be the one in the white dress. So that is Carol's cousin, Joel. He's a comedian at heart, at least he thinks he is. And he's, you know, when we go to a family reunion or all the Carol's cousins are there, I'm the smallest one. He's 6'8", and the rest of his brothers, I think the shortest one is 6'5". So I'm the peewee at the family reunion. But Joel is—he usually grows a beard, and he's a white beard anymore. When we get older, that happens. And he's a great Santa, but he's a giant Santa. I'll tell you that. But this morning, you know, thinking about football, I know that that's on everybody's mind, right? And tomorrow is the last, it's a championship game for Division I football. There's 128 teams that have been participating this year in Division I football, and it comes down to two teams. Neither one are my team, but I will be watching it. And I don't know, I could kind of expect maybe Alabama to win, but I don't know. Actually, they're the underdog, and so isn't that interesting? Boo, okay. But I get myself in trouble here. But you think about all these teams, I guess at the beginning of the year, there's an expectation or a thought, maybe this is the year that we're going to be the champion, we're going to be number one. And the reality is that many of the teams have never even gotten in the top 10, maybe not even in the top 25. I suppose most of them maybe have the top 25, but an expectation to be in the championship game, and that would be great for each team and having those goals and those visions. But the reality is that there's only two teams that will make it to that game, and only one will be the ultimate victor or number one. And I was thinking about this for us and thinking about the concept of football. And as we start this new year, what does that mean for us as a church? Go ahead, Eric. Thank you, Eric, for filling in. Mike and Shirley are out, and so Eric is stepping in, and so thank you for making that happen. But here's Vince Lombardi. He was a hard-nosed coach, but certainly he took many average players and helped them do the extraordinary. And he says, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. But, you know, that's pretty harsh, or that's, you know, he's a motivator of motivators, and he was able to accomplish many things and championships and all these things. But that's a direct, or that's a kind of a blunt statement, but he had many other statements that were motivating. He says, winning is not everything, but wanting to win is. And those are two different kind concepts here, but it's not everything, but wanting to win is. Motivated to succeed. And what does that mean? We know somewhat what it means to be on a football team or other sports teams, but for us as a church, I've been on various teams growing up, and there's something about teamwork. There's something about working together that as Vince Lombardi says, the achievements of an organization are the results of the combined effort of each individual. People who work together will win, whether it be against complex football defenses or the problems of modern society. So he's thinking in this regard as well, or these thoughts. Individual commitment to a group effort, that is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, a civilization work. Go to the next one. He spoke about commitment. He said, once a man has made a commitment to a way of life, he puts the greatest strength in the world behind him. It's something that we call heart power. You see, he's not talking about theology here, but he's certainly touching where we are as people of God. Because I want to thank our leadership this last year and years past. That's what that what gift can we bring, that certainly addressed that, as that song was thinking about of people that have gone before us and those that are in leadership today, and thinking about leadership this year and years to come, thinking about goals and visioning and these kind of things. What does that mean for us? You know, when this church was established some 120 plus years ago, wasn't on this location, but it was out closer to the river, and what motivated them to come together and worship together and build a smaller church out there, and the whole community came. It wasn't just the Methodist or it wasn't just the Baptist. They collectively came together, and then as the town grew and the congregation grew, then they began to build their own properties and their own churches of worship. But what motivated them 100 plus years ago to consider these things? And we are the beneficiaries of those that have gone before us that they had commitment and sacrifice and all the things that Vince Lombardi was talking about. It was upon their hearts. And so, about a month ago or so, I gave this book to our leaders, and it's called Bearing Fruit, Ministry with Real Results. And in this book, he addresses the question to his own congregation. He said, why do we exist? To his own congregation, why do we exist? And I'll ask that question, why do we exist? Why does Bay City United Methodist Church? And this author said, and within his own congregation, it was dead silent, just like this. As people thought about it and pondered upon this question, he said, and then in the moment of the silence, a 10-year-old boy shouted out, our church exists to change the world. And he said it loudly. And the author said, and there really wasn't anything else to say, because this young boy understood what it's all about. And so Bay City First United Methodist Church exists, comma, so that what? So that we can, what is our mission statement? Tell us, Patty. It's on the front of the bulletin there. We share it often, but okay. So, First United Methodist exists. This is our mission statement, so that we might fulfill that mission statement of growing disciples of Jesus Christ one by one for the transformation of the world. That is our mission statement. That is that question, so that we can accomplish or fulfill that mission. That is why we exist. That's what a mission statement is about. Comes from the words of Jesus, Matthew 28:19-20. Go out and make disciples of Jesus Christ for sharing what I've shared with you, these teachings, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so I looked in a concordance, and on my computer, I've got a computer program that has the Bible and about 50 different translations, but you can put in the concordance of that, you type in "so that," and I'll bet there were 500 "so that's" in the Bible. And so we've got three this morning that would like to be read, and would you read the first one, Denise? Okay, well, thank you. And Roy, I think you had number two, if I recall. Okay, thank you, Roy. And Lamar, I believe you had the third one. Thank you, Lamar. So that we might live through him. That God sent his only Son into the world, that those who believe in him, so that we might show the world, that we might have eternal life. Carol referenced one of Jesus' teachings from the Sermon on the Mount, and in Matthew 5:13-16, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house." And here we go. "In the same way, let your light shine before men, comma, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And so, we are the salt of the earth, as Carol was talking about, and giving vibrancy to the community. That's part of what saltiness is. But he says, "You are the light of the world, and you put it up on a lampstand so all might see it, not to glorify yourself, but help others see that light, and that other people might see your good deeds, and you might be able to say, 'Let me tell you what God is doing in my life. Let me tell you what God is doing in our church. Let me tell you what God has done in my life. I was struggling here and at this situation. Let me tell you that he brought other people of God to me and helped me. They were light into my world. They were taking Jesus' light and passing it on." The so what, or so that, rather. As I was thinking about the football metaphor, the football concept, I was thinking, why do junior highs and high school and colleges have football teams, or sports in general? Why do they have teams? Because it's unique to the United States that the school systems have sport teams. Other countries and other cultures have sports, no question, but they have their sports in clubs by and large. There are national teams, there are club situations in communities and community team sports, but the United States is unique in its part of the school system. And as I looked at that, as I Googled that and tried to understand it from that perspective, I said initially in the United States that many of our collegiate schools were out in the country away from the population by and large, and so one reason was to have something intramural sports, which gravitated or evolved into team sports, But it was, for one, to give the student body something to do, but it quickly grew out of that, and it was to draw attention to a larger population base that the school is here, and something's going on. But that's not the only reason that schools have sports. Because I've been on enough sports teams to understand that there's value in teamwork and team building and character building and at one time physical fitness and those kind of things. There is value in it, but I truly believe that the value of teamwork is maybe the primary thing, at least from my perspective. And the people that I have been a part of on teams throughout the years, as they matured and grew up, that often they were leaders within their own communities, and because there's something about teamwork and working together and accomplishing more together than we can separately or individually. And certainly that translates to the church, does it not? And so team, working together. And I am so proud of our church. As we begin to think about this next week is report day, and you begin to consider all the things that have happened in the last year and all these things, and it's like there was a tremendous amount of things that this church has done. But this author, he speaks about many churches have what he calls silo ministries, that there's successful ministry here as a silo and an successful ministry over here as a silo and another one here and there, and many churches, most churches are that way. But you have to filter all these things, all these ministries through the so what statement of our mission statement of making disciples of Jesus Christ one by one for the transformation of the world. And these can be separate ministries that are doing well, but how do they come together under the umbrella of the mission statement as we look forward? Important questions to ask. And so the challenges of the church today, they are large. Not just our church, but most of the churches in our community and many of the churches within the Methodist denomination are dealing with these questions and wrestling with these questions and where do we go from here and what do we do? And surely God's not done with us yet, and what does that mean? So how do we move forward? You know, I was thinking about, as this author speaks about bearing fruit, when Carol and I were at my dad's property after his death in the fall, kind of wandering around the property there, and when I was growing up, there was an orchard that had apple trees and cherry trees and apricots and about any kind of fruit my parents had it there, and they were there before my parents moved there, and the community that they were a part of at one time was one of the larger apple producers in the Midwest, and that's all gone, but it's the orchard still at the home place. And when I was a kid growing up, that these fruit trees had so much fruit that most of the time, by the end of the summer, the limbs are on the ground because of the weight. When we were there in the fall, apple tree had maybe two or three apples on it, and each tree was like that. And the apricots, I don't think I saw any, and the cherries were long gone. But as I thought about that and spoke to some people that know more than I do about that, it's like, well, do we need to fertilize or what's that? And well, perhaps, but said, you got bees. Did you used to have bees? It's like, well, the people that lived on my parents' property when it was a full orchard, they had bees. And there were two rogue hives. The hives were all gone, but there was one in a hollow tree and there was another one in the wall of the barn, and there were bees everywhere. And as I was thinking about bearing fruit, it takes just a tiny little bee, hundreds, thousands of them, tens of thousands of them, to pollinate an orchard like that, but no one be as insignificant. And I was thinking about that as us as church people, as people of God. Every one of us, as part of as the team or the beehive, so to speak, is that we can be very busy, and at the same time, are we accomplishing what God wants us to do? But every one of us are important in that larger scale and in those goals and visions. And so as we think about 2017, as we think about this year and years to come, what does that mean for us? Everyone is important, and everybody's opinion is important. Every one of you is most of you are active in ministry in one way or another, and so every ministry is important. So what does that mean for us for the future? The reality is, if I had all the answers, we would already be implementing those, and so that's why we're meeting this afternoon, to think about such things and consider, where do we go from here? So let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, it's times like this that we are reminded that we need you, and we need your wisdom, we need your guidance. We pray, Lord, as we come together as leaders this afternoon, we pray for your direction. We pray, Lord, as we come together, that you would help us to be candid with ourselves, and as we share from our heart, we pray, Lord, that we might consider the question, so that, and now what, and where do we go from here? And so, Lord, we pray for your wisdom. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.